So our text for this evening's meditation is from Matthew chapter 5, these words, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's quite easy to be dismissive of our text for this evening. That is, these words of Jesus telling us that we are to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Why? Why is it so easy to simply disregard, to ignore, or forget these particular words of our Savior? Well, perhaps it's simply because since childhood, what is known as the golden rule has been pounded into our heads. Do unto others, so the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, these also are the words of Jesus, aren't they? Words of Jesus we find in Matthew 7, also in Luke. And having had these words, this golden rule pounded into our heads since our childhood, and have even attempted on more than one occasion to follow this rule, this golden rule, we've discovered that it's all right. It's okay. That it is as good a rule as any to use in order to get along in society with all those people around us, whether they be family members, or friends, or even enemies. But the loophole in the golden rule that we ourselves create and then we take advantage of is in believing how we wish to be treated as the driving force behind our treatment of others, and not a consideration of whether or not the person with whom we are interacting is a friend or enemy, and love them regardless. In other words, by using the golden rule, we avoid having to be confronted by the question of whether or not we should actually love the person in front of us, especially if they are, in fact, our enemy. One of the most uncomfortable moments in my entire life was after an English class I was teaching in Germany. After the class was finished, Awad, the Palestinian from the Gaza Strip I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Awad came up to me with another man and said in German, "Hey, this guy just got here from Iraq. He's a refugee. Just moved into our building. He's a Saddam Muslim," as in Saddam Hussein. Just imagine, a year ago, your brother was dropping bombs on him and his family. Now, Awad thought that was extremely funny. He had an odd sense of humor. And looking at the man from Iraq, who just arrived in Germany, I could see that he was very uncomfortable, embarrassed even, and he began to look down at his shoes. And I, for my part, could not get out of that room fast enough. For my head, it was racing. What was that man from Iraq to me? Was he my enemy? Did he think of me as his enemy? And if he did, would he seek to harm me? My family there in the building, wife and two small children at the time, to get revenge for something that had happened during the first Persian Gulf War the year before. Now, later on, I would run into an Iranian who would scream at me for quite some time because of that conflict. Turned out she hated George Bush Sr. Be that as it may, sticking to the golden rule would have relieved me of any of the questions raised that night after the English class. But it wouldn't have answered them in my heart. How is it that I can love my enemy? My enemy, someone who wishes me harm, who hates me, who wishes to destroy me, or what I represent. How can such a person be loved by me? Now, such love. How? Well, by noting that the person I'm to love doesn't love me, but hates me. Logically, then according to reason, to human reason, I'm free from that responsibility of love. Well, human reason may free me from loving my enemy, that is, someone who hates me, but God doesn't. God, our loving Heavenly Father, doesn't. Our Creator doesn't, as His Son, Jesus Christ, points out. Jesus told us, He makes His Son rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, God, our loving Heavenly Father, loves His enemies. God loves those who do not love Him. God loves those who hate Him. God loves those who wish He didn't exist. Such a love goes beyond, goes deeper, goes higher, goes farther than the golden rule. And it does so by acknowledging such love as being expressed in the face of hatred. Think of that. Think of that. For God, in reality, does not treat us like we treat Him, right? He's done everything for us. He's done everything for man, from man's creation to man's development, to man's care and protection, to man's livelihood. Yes, God has done everything for man, and yet what has man done for God? What have we done for God? When it comes to God, can we even say that we follow the golden rule? Treating God like we ourselves wish to be treated? Hardly. You're more like the 9 lepers who cry out to Jesus to be healed, and when He does tell them to go show themselves to the priests, they do and are healed without a word of thanks. That's mankind in general. No way treating God as it wishes God to treat mankind. And yet God does so much more, doesn't He? God loves mankind. God loves mankind, even though man is born as God's enemy. So in God's love for us, what do we have but a demonstration of our text, right? The love of our enemies. For what does God do, even though we are His enemies, but set the fact that He is God aside and not only become one of us, that is, become man, but God goes even further and becomes our servant, and our servant unto His very death on the cross. Why? So that we no longer would be God's enemies, but His friends. That's what God's love does for us. And because God served us by becoming one of us and then suffering and dying for us, He can forgive and does forgive the way we in our sin consider Him to be our enemy. And God overwhelms us then with His Holy Spirit, changing our hearts, creating faith within us. That is a new way of understanding His work among us as our Savior, literally turning us into His friend. Now, it would be easy at this point to think that God works upon us through Jesus by means of His Spirit like a salesman of some sort. He showers us with compliments and concessions and gifts of one sort or another to try to convince us that He's our friend so that we then buy His product from Him. No, it's not the case with our Savior Jesus. What He does is serve us, His enemies, in His suffering and death, and then send us His Spirit to overcome our hatred of him, not by our rejoicing in receiving such a gift, but by actually changing our heart, causing a divine change of heart, a divine healing in which we become the friends of God and understand him to be our friend. You see, the love of God is different than our love. The love of God is different than our love. Our love finds what is pleasing to it. That's what our love does. It finds what's pleasing to it. It looks for what's pleasing to it and finds it. That's what our love does. But the love of God creates what is pleasing to it. That's what God's love does. He creates what is pleasing. It's not so complex. Just so we need to realize, returning to where we began, that we can hide behind the golden rule, relieving ourselves of need to actually truly, daily, and sincerely love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. This is not some sort of heavenly wish for us by our Father in heaven to do so, but a reflection of what he has done for us in Jesus Christ and what he continues to do for us, daily forgiving our sins, forgiving all the ways we still demonstrate our recalcitrance to his leading and guiding as our old Adam would continue to live in rebellion against God and make his case daily as to why we should not love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, but instead treat God as our worst enemy and ignore him, shun him, and flee from him. Why? Well, because God's not pleasing to our old Adam, right? And that's that old Adam type of love, finding what pleases it. God's not that. Now, I suppose the thought that might have entered our minds by this point is that, well, if I love my enemy, I'm not showing my approval. Am I not showing my approval for what my enemy is doing? If I love them, am I not approving of them? Don't want to do that. Don't want to be nice to and pray for someone who's doing all sorts of things that are wrong. And what is more, is hurting me personally. Okay, not a bad point. But do you think that God does the same thing by providing food and clothing, a job, a spouse and family, housing, vacations, entertainment, and wealth to those who deny he even exists? I mean, think about that. God used the same standards when it comes to love as we do. This planet would be a barren wasteland with a few dozen people living here and there. Maybe. Instead, Earth remains a cornucopia of God's blessing to all who live here. And it does not mean he supports and approves or encourages the sin committed by the countless masses. It is instead his expression of grace, his undeserved love for mankind, allowing mankind to continue to exist so that the gospel can be proclaimed and mankind turn from being enemies of God to being his friends. Now, the same goes for us. Our love expressed for our enemies must be considered to have the same purpose, not to approve of their sin, but to provide the opportunity for us ultimately to share the gospel of Jesus with them and thus watch as the Holy Spirit turns them into sons and daughters of God, his friends and our friends. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the canticle.